Country Club FM.
You know what time it is. The Bob Almanac. And we have a Bob Almanac salute here on today's program.
I don't like to name names. Game. But we can't be responsible for the blocking. We can't be responsible for the guys jumping offside. We can't be responsible for. We get down there and it was a dumb play by Anderson. I love Anderson, but it was a dumb play when his foot was shoe was coming off up the line screen. We were hard to take timeout. We had a trap play called, and his shoe comes off. That ain't Bob Snuker's fault.
Burnsy. Jerry Burns passing away at the age of 94. They won that game, Neil.
Wow.
That's a post-game news conference. It is famous. It is YouTube gold. And that is the edited version. If you don't mind some expletives, you can certainly watch the unedited, uncensored version. But the Vikings had just beaten the LA Rams, where Rich Carlis, our barefooted kicker at the time in November of 1989, kicked 7 field goals. At the time, it tied an NFL record.
Wow.
And the Vikings won it in overtime after Carlis had kicked a field goal to tie it, force overtime. Mike Merriweather blocks a punt for a safety. And is that the only time that an overtime game has ever ended with a safety?
It does not happen often, I promise you that.
So they won the game. But everybody wanted to talk about Bob Schnelker.
Right, and he went to his defense.
He did.
The crusty old sea captain.
So Jerry Burns was the head coach from 86 to 91, assistant under Bud as the offensive coordinator, often mistaken for Burgess Meredith. He might have been the inventor of squadron left, squadron right. Yeah, three receivers on one side or the other to throw the Hail Mary. He didn't invent the Hail Mary. That was Roger Staubach. You're still always excited to bring that up with Drew Pearson. But an offensive innovator. They claim, Bill Walsh says he invented the West Coast offense. But we here in the Midwest think it was Jerry Burns. He's the one who involved the running backs in the passing game. Although Bill Walsh was at Cincinnati, he's under Paul Brown. And they still say that he started it there. But who was watching Bengals football in the 70s?
Nobody.
Nobody's paying attention to that. I mean, look at their helmets.
Yeah.
Brown with the Bengals across. Boring as heck. Vikings
right.
were running the offense that was exciting. Ricky Young, Chuck Foreman, then eventually Teddy Brown.
For sure.
Tony Galbraith catching it out of the backfield. So,
and on to Darren Nelson. And we had a just, we made it.
Jerry Burns.
We made it work, and it was Burnsy.
Uncle Burnsy. Jeff Patzelt from Fox 9, formerly of Care 11, does a great Jerry Burns impersonation. I had him do it when he was at a St. Cloud State Husky game. He did just a quick little one for us. We had him on our radio broadcast.
Nice.
Because he is a former Husky hockey player.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jim Klobuchar passed away, a guy who followed the Vikings and probably did many, many interviews with Jerry Burns, longtime columnist for the Star Tribune. He also passed away.
Ooh.
Amy Klobuchar's father.
Yeah.
So Jim Klobuchar as well. A couple of gones but not forgottens there in salutes here today. Thursday, May 13th, 133rd day of the year, 232 left to go. Captains John Smith and Christopher Newport this date in 1607. Landed near the James River in the future town of Jamestown, Virginia, turned out to be, of course, the first permanent English settlement in the New World. And they did their thing, and Jamestown, way to go. Let's give a hand to Jamestown, 1607.
15 years after Columbus was here, right?
1637, the table knife created. Cardinal Richelieu. In France, created the table knife. Before that, they were using all kinds of machetes and sickles off of the sycamore, and they were using whatever they could to spread their butter and cut their meat.
Your finger.
And eventually they said, there must be a better way.
Right.
And this guy, Cardinal Richelieu, came up with the table knife.
Well done.
Nice work there. 1637, 1846, we were at war with the Mexicans.
Sure.
Congress declared war against Mexico. That triggered, obviously, the Mexican-American War.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't trigger war with Argentina. Right in the name, Neil. Mexican-American War.
Right.
1940 this day, and I don't know, Winston Churchill, did he give some of the best speeches of all time?
Oh, for sure.
I don't know who his speech writer was, but he was very good, or maybe she.
I would say to the House, as I said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
And you haven't seen a Winston Churchill until you've seen a sweaty Winston Churchill, Neil. He used to go through T-shirts during World War II.
Yeah.
When they were trying to come up with battle plans and you had the Luftwaffe coming after you. Can you imagine how sweaty Winston Churchill got?
It was not pretty. I'm pretty sure of it.
The deodorants and antiperspirants of the 1940s just could not keep up.
Not only was his writing, but his delivery was second to none.
It was spot on. So he became the prime minister on this date, and that was his speech to the British House of Commons, 1940. 1958, the trademark Velcro registered.
This is for Luke and Luke. This one's a Luke. This one's a Luke. You call it Velcro, but we're begging you. This is
for Luke. Yes, it is. They bleeped it. Thank God they did. That's in more bleeps here today. We had a lot of Jerry Burns bleeps there.
Yes.
And now the folks from Velcro, don't just call it generically Velcro because that's an actual registered trademark.
Sure.
And they can lose the trademark if you call everything that's hook and loop Velcro. You're not supposed to do that. Same thing with rollerblades and Kleenex and Clorox or whatever else you want to go with there. So Velcro, do you use Velcro on a daily basis? I think we do.
Pretty close, I would say, yes.
Some people say it was alien technology that was handed down in 1958. Well, that was after Roswell, so it's very possible the aliens gave us a technology for Velcro.
Yeah, could have happened.
We might not have been smart enough to come up with it ourselves.
No.
1961, we're remembering Gary Cooper today.
Dressed up like a million-dollar trooper. Trying hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Yeah, trying hard to look like Gary Cooper, which isn't a bad thing.
No, when you're putting on
we
Ritz.
Could do pretty well looking like Gary Cooper. He passed away on this date. He was only 60. He died
he was
pretty
young.
Yep. He won Oscars, and of course, we just recently referenced him and had
High
the trailer
Noon.
For High Noon, which is, if you want to watch a movie,
that's a good one.
You might want to queue up here. It's got to be available somewhere. That's one good thing about some of these streaming services now, even YouTube, you can get all kinds of movies. Sometimes you have to pay for them. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get them free with ads. But High Noon is one that you might want to check out if you haven't. Or if you've seen it and it's been a long time, why not? It's very suspenseful, is it not, Neil?
One of the best.
1967. So if you're a fan of MMA and the Ultimate Fighting.
Yes.
And of course, that's known for being the Octagon, right?
Yes.
Well, the Octagon kind of got its birth on this date in 67 because the Boxing Commission tested out an octagonal boxing ring, an eight-sided boxing ring tested to avoid corner injuries. Of course, they'd never do that in pro wrestling because you need the corner. You need the turnbuckle.
Yes.
You need the metal steel post.
Right.
Those are big parts of professional wrestling, but in boxing, they thought that they might be able to avoid injuries if they went to an eight-sided boxing ring, go to the octagon. It didn't pan out, but then eventually MMA was born, and they would use the octagon.
Yep, they adopted it.
Neil, do you remember Dan Blocker as Haas?
Very, very well.
On Bonanza?
He was my favorite.
What happened to little boy? What are you doing in Hop Sing kitchen?
I just brung your knife back, Hop Sing.
That's so? The little boy take knife. The big boy take a donut. Bad boy. Very bad boy.
I got some real important things to be doing, Hopsy.
He liked his donuts.
He liked food in general.
Yes, he did.
He
so
could
he
put
was
away
awesome.
Some groceries.
Dan Blocker died, heart failure, the age of only 43.
It was very traumatic on the set of... Because the show was still running.
Yes,
it ran
was.
For another
it was one
year
of those
so.
Deaths during a show, which
it
is very difficult.
Very,
any death
very
is
tough.
Difficult, but of course, Dan Blocker, 1972, in the news in 81.
A terrible quiet fell on the thousands who were gathered at St. Peter's Square at the Vatican today. A shocked quiet. 10,000 or more had come to receive the blessing of Pope John Paul. Instead, amongst the cheering and the peal of bells announcing the arrival of the Pope, they heard gunfire and saw the Pope turn pale and collapse, bloody, into the arms of his aides.
Pope John Paul II shot on this date outside the Vatican. You hear the frantic typewriter typing in the background?
Mm-hmm, sure did.
That's a member of the CBS News staff who had some preaching background. I guess he was ordained. He could at least maybe perform marriages. He was typing up his resume for the new pope. He just figured that Pope John Paul was going to die from his injury, so right. He was getting his resume ready.
He's going to be first in.
And, of course, wouldn't need it because John Paul II's a tough guy.
He's tough.
I mean, he lasted a long time. I mean, he went forever in that post, of course. And as you know, Neil, out of tragedy comes innovation. Mm-hmm. We got the Pope-mobile out of that.
That's right.
The little bubble thing.
Yep.
And it's
bulletproof glass.
It's worked out pretty well. That was 81. 85.
So far away from me. So far, I just can't see. So far away from me. You're so far.
So this is the first release off of Brothers in Arms and Dire Straits, the Knopfler Brothers. They released Brothers in Arms on this date.
Mark and David?
Yes, 1985. That was a great album. That's the one that's got Walk of Life and, of course, mm-hmm. Money for Nothing on mm-hmm. it. I remember that well. In fact, I had that vinyl, and a funny story how I acquired the vinyl of that. When I was in high school, we had these air band dances where we'd have air bands, and then it sure. was a competition, and we'd have teachers and people on the council, and they'd be the judges, and they would vote, and we would go out and get prizes. And this might have been more of a raffle prize, and I was DJing it. I was the host, mm-hmm. and we bought this album. I went with the teacher and the advisor. We went down and bought some giveaway things out of the fund. I guess AFS put it on. It was an AFS fundraiser. And these were huge. Remember air bands? They don't do it anymore.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I know in the 80s they were huge.
They were big.
So we had purchased this one, and somehow, some way, we forgot to give it away. And at the end of the night, I looked over. Oh, nobody gave away the Brothers in Arms Dire Straits album.
That worked out.
I guess I'll just take that home with me.
That worked out.
I think I also secured a strobe light that the school is still looking for. But anyway... that was 1985 in 2003 in the news.
And we're really pleased today, this historic moment, introducing the first color U.S. currency and making our currency safer, smarter, more secure, staying ahead of counterfeiting, making our currency the most secure we possibly can, staying ahead of technology.
So the $20 bill got a whole new look on this day, 2003. Money had pretty much looked the same for the entire century.
Right.
And then here, because so many people were counterfeiting the $20 bill, they had to find a way to stop and foil counterfeiters. So they put Andrew Jackson off to the side. They put some watermarks in there, a little color. Harder for them to, you just couldn't go to their local Kinko's and make some copies. And it's been changed a number of times. Again, eventually all of our money changed to that style. And now we're going to get Harriet Tubman on the 20 here eventually.
That's what we hear.
So that was the state 2003. 2013, O.J. Simpson appeared in a Las Vegas courtroom seeking a new trial in his 2008 robbery conviction. Simpson said his defense at the time was inadequate for that. Of course, at that point in time, he could no longer afford the dream team, the F. Lee Bailey or the Shapiro or that Alan Dershowitz. There was a Kardashian on his dream team for the original O.J. murder trial. Of course, Johnny Cochran, the glove guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Who could he afford Matlock at that time?
That was
2013,
closer
maybe.
Closer to what was in the
because Matlock sometimes just would work for, what, Ritz Crackers? A cup of soup?
Right.
So that was 2013, and then 2 years ago.
NASA says the moon is shrinking, and it may be creating moonquakes. Scientists say the interior of the moon is cooling, causing it to shrivel up like a raisin. Researchers.
Wow. The moon is shrinking. Maybe it was spending too much time in the pool, Neil.
I'm sorry. I thought this was the baby's room. I'm really sorry.
The moon has been spending too much time in the pool, Neil.
Sounds like it.
It is shrinking. Mm-hmm. Birthdays.
Gunsmoke, starring James Arness as Matt Dillon.
Hey, happy birthday to your guy, Newly, Buck Taylor. 83. Still with us.
Thank you for not missing him.
No, because he's not on the real list.
No, he's not on the list.
What does my staff do, Neil, most of the time? We miss some every now and then, but we try our best. No stone unturned.
Yep.
So Buck Taylor.
Yep, love him.
You interviewed him at our state fair booth.
Yep.
He's quite the artist, I understand.
Is. I've got a couple of his paintings in my home, and he is one of the good guys for sure.
Here's his father.
Doc, come on, sober up, buddy. Let's go. Come on. You better get out there, son. I got $20 gold bet on you, so don't let me down.
Three!
I got $30 gold bet against you, so don't let me down.
The biggest yellow belly in the West.
That's the guy from...
That's Dub Taylor.
Yeah.
Dub Taylor was the first one, and he's my favorite from Little House because he was Houston Lamp. So Buck Taylor, happy birthday. How about Harvey Keitel? I don't know if there's ever been a role that I thought he was bad in.
No.
He's good.
He's really good.
You're Jimmy, right? This is your house?
Sure is.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
Good. We got one.
So I heard. May I come in?
Yeah, please do.
That's from Pulp Fiction. He was the cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
He knew how to get blood. I mean, all he did, he showed up with some Tide.
Right.
That's all you need to, I mean, from the commercials. I mean, what else do you need to get blood stains out of things? Tide.
Right.
So
good in National Treasure too.
If he could afford it, Harvey Keitel would show up with Tide at the door. He's 82 today.
I said, lovely as a summer day.
Little Stevie Morris. And then he was Steve Lynn Judkins Hardaway. And then he was Stevie Wonder.
And he was always talented.
And still is. His music. He is 71.
Good.
Bobby Valentine, former baseball star. I don't think he managed with analytics. He seemed to me to be like a gut manager. He's on the list here because there's just that one time where he got kicked out of the game. He's with the Mets and he shows back up in the dugout with some Groucho Marx glasses.
That was so good.
I mean, he deserves just so much credit for that. He's 71.
And he was a good player, too.
Yeah. So Dennis Rodman, the colorful and controversial, kicked the cameraman or two in his time. But what a rebounder. Tenacious, is that a word we could use?
Yep.
He's 60 today for The Worm.
And just let her cry.
Darius Rucker, 55. Of course, he went country, and please don't call him Hootie. Our rapper of the day is Pusha T. Pusha T.
What?
Not push my T. Pusha T. Push your T.
Where did they come up with this?
Pusha T. We got to be different. Yep. Pusha T is 44. He's like Mr. T or Booker T, but it's
Pusha.
Pusha T. And then Robert Pattinson from the Twilight films.
Oh, yeah.
He's a vampire.
Yes, vampire.
Are you afraid?
No.
Then ask me the most basic question. What do we eat?
I just assume a lot of steakums. Robert Pattinson, 35 today.
Gone, but not forgotten. It's a long list, but we have to shorten it up. We're going to go with, we start with the Brown Bomber, Boxing Hall of Famer Joe Louis. He holds the record for the longest reign as heavyweight champion in nearly 12 years, and he was born on this day, 1914. She was one of the Golden Girls and very, very funny. Emmy Award-winning actress Bea Arthur, 1922.
How am I supposed to study for my French final with a 14-year-old in the house? It's hard enough with an 80-year-old.
Are you referring to me?
Of course not, Ma. I'm referring to Cary Grant. He's living in the broom closet.
Her sarcastic comebacks on Golden Girls.
Yes. Was there anybody better?
Probably not any better here. I want to play another one here while you catch your breath here on today's Bob Almanac, because this one is pretty good as well, because, she is Maude, after all, and Dorothy.
I've read every want ad in the paper. Mine is not here. Are you sure you dropped it off at the newspaper office?
Dorothy, you told me exactly what you wanted me to do a dozen times. Any idiot could have done.
I know, honey, but you were the only one going down.
Pretty good.
I apologize for the auxiliary music there.
She had a sharp tongue, for sure. Bea Arthur there, 1922. All of his, they drank the Kool-Aid, the followers of cult leader Jim Jones.
Do we know why he? Do we know why he chose grape?
I don't. I mean, it's my Kool-Aid of choice, but I don't like it the way he spiked it. 1931. Now, what about Richie Valens? Yeah, he, born on this day in 1941, of course, he would go down in the plane crash with a big bopper and
Buddy Holly.
Yeah, Buddy Holly had a mental block. 1941 for Richie Valens. Now, another Motown sound of Mary Wells. Nothing you can take and tear
me away from my God. Boy, you must have spun this song a couple of times in your career. You nothing nailed the post.
Right. I'm stuck like you to my God. So good. Mary Wells there, 1943. And she was a country singer, had several hit songs, and then died very young of cancer. Larry White. And
when the earth begins to shake, because it can feel the love you make, oh, that's how you know when you're in love.
And I took the liberty to put a Larry White song into the Bobathon for you.
Ah, beautiful. She was, what, in the early to mid-90s kind of era, I would think?
And then trivia, she is in that final scene in Castaway. That's where right. Tom Hanks is looking and trying to deliver that box, and he did. It turned out to be her. She's driving an old truck with that Eagle insignia on the tailgate, and they meet at the crossroads there. She tells him where to go. I thought there was going to be some kind of a romantic contact there, that he was going to go back, follow her. They're going to have some tea out on the porch. But it didn't turn out that way. He went his way, she went her way. Yeah. How did she pass away? Very young.
It was cancer of some sort. Yeah, very sad. Larry White, born on this day, 1965, and they're all gone. But not forgotten.
Tim McGraw, Where the Green Grass Grows. Sure. Paul Overstreet, Daddy's Come Around. Or Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, singing about that working man who has nowhere to go.
I'm going to go Paul Overstreet today.
Broadcasting from the Plow World Power Equipment Studio.